Hallelujah. Is anybody hungry for anything in the Word of God today? I am. I can't wait to hear what I'm going to say. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody look at the person next to you and say, yes, 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 His love goes deeper still. Say, yes, 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 way deeper. This is the Unshakable Love series. This is installment number 2. And we're going to be talking about how His love goes deeper still. There was a man who wrote a book called Recollections, kind of a I guess he's a Norwegian. His name was author Carnegie Simpson. And he tells how once he was in a hotel in Norway, and his wife is this Danish lady with this magnificent voice. And she's singing a song by a Norwegian composer whose name is Krieg. And she's singing up there like an angel, and suddenly the doors burst open, and it's Krieg. And he's so thrilled, he says, "This is how my song should be sung." He just loved her voice, you know. And I think there's a parallel in the New Testament. There were 3 different times that Jesus was spoken to out of the heavens. There was a time when he came up from the waters of baptism and a voice boomed out the affirming love. And then there was a time on the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice boomed out of heaven. And then, of course, again in the temple, later toward the end, boomed out of heaven. And it's as if God the Father is saying, "This is how life is to be lived." And each of us signed up with the master of the universe who has saved us, and we've placed our lives under an unusual sense of His lordship. And when things go awry, we come back to the Lord and say, "How does God want to rule in this area of my life?" Is that right? Is anybody here besides me going, "How do you do this right?" Because Jesus has given us, get this, the example to live in. He's an incredible teacher. He makes it clear. He doesn't talk above our heads. He speaks right to our heart. He's the example. And then we're going to end up living the fullness of His life. How many of you are really into that? The fullness of His life. You have anybody besides me have exasperating days on occasion? Maybe one or two. Just on occasion. How many of you have a day comes up and suddenly it just goes weird? And the whole day you're struggling. Have you had those? It's like a... I'm going to tell you, in our character, our salvation is the essence of our humility before God to invite His rule. Is that right? Are you there? When He doesn't have that place of rule and you're fighting your own fight on your own terms, how many of you fall prey to that on occasion? Right? And that little pride is like a little hole. And I found that as an exterminator years ago, that you could have a hole the size of a quarter and a great big rat can get through it. I didn't come to church to hear about rats, Pastor. How about demons getting into your life because of a little hole of pride? And comes in there and starts gnawing everything up. And you got to back up and say, "I repent, Lord." Is that right? It's like a big crack in the Hoover Dam and all that power. And so we say, "Lord, we bring all of our cracks to Your Lordship and submit afresh to You." And Jesus, when He was choosing this... Guys, let me go ahead and grab the first verse. He said, I don't have it in your notes there, but this is Mark chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It says, "Passing along side the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus comes up there and He says, 'Follow Me, and I'll make you fishers of men.'" My brother fishes. He's so good at it. He has this innate sense. He's got the feel. I think he actually has part of a fish brain. I'm not sure. Maybe it came out different. Who's your daddy? Because he can literally, with the rod and reel, choose the bait, understand the surroundings, understand like if it's rained lately, not. He can assess the whole situation, knows the environment, knows what to use, and somehow he gets into there like their psyche or something. He understands where to, how to, and I'll be down there all day long and nothing. And he's like pulling them out because he's good at it. And Jesus understands men. He understands people. He understands the environment. He has that innate sense to know the deepest need and how to speak to that and how to give people complete sense of affirmation like he received, isn't it right? What's your greatest need? And the Lord comes along and he speaks to that deep place in your heart and mind. You just got to give him room to allow him to do it. Is that right? How many of you in times of worship lifting up your hands in worship and opening up to him, and suddenly he affirms something so special and so deep in you that you know nobody else around would ever know, and you know what you are and you know what you did, and you know how you're faring, and he comes along and affirms something that causes you to be okay with your foibles, with your frailty, and sense the fullness of his love for you? Is that him or not? Is that why we love the Lord? Come on, guys. Is that why we love the Lord? And he comes and cheers us along. And so every now and again we go, we're living that way in the fullness of the Spirit. Because listen, in the Lord's Spirit, I'm really, really, really good. And outside of it, I'm really, really bad. Are you the same? And there's those days that you have that really, really good and you can feel him going, that's the way life is lived. That's the way we do it. And Jesus took these guys and he takes them to make them disciples, and he knows where to go and how to catch fish, the people. And he's modeling for them. You know, a real fisherman, they'll go through briars, mud. They just get into it. They will go down through every weird place. Isn't that right? And they'll get all into it. And Jesus was a real fisher for men. So I want us to look at a little passage here. By the way, this message can go by very quickly, so I just want to enjoy the moments with you this morning. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus was about to pass that way. I want to pause here and just say, for you and I, there are moments when people want what we got. Jesus always looked for the expectant heart. In fact, in his ministry, he required it. There are so many people who will just complain and blame everybody else for what's wrong in their life. But the Lord doesn't require that. He requires faith. Will you trust me? Who in the room has handed something to God, and then when you left church, you took it back? Who are you? How many have struggled with something like that, where you give it to the Lord, and then you take it back, and then you give it to the Lord, and you take it back, and finally you give it to the Lord, and you resign it into his hands, and with an act of faith, place it there for good? Let me just go ahead and tell you, that is the way you rule in life. Keeping your life in God's hands. Are there situations you're facing right now? Keep them in God's hands. Don't let the worry come back and start to gnaw at you. Don't let the quarter-size hole in your soul allow that big old fat rat back in there. Are you there? Keep praising him. Even over our nation, even over these days, our assignment is in our alignment before the throne of God. Let's stay under the mighty hand of God. Don't let fear, don't let all that stuff get on you. Are you? Go ahead, if you're going to fast fear. Let's go ahead and be the Lord's people. Are you there? Come on, everybody. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts this morning. And so Zacchaeus climbs the tree, wants to see him, and something's going on. And Jesus looks up into the tree and he says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house. And so he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. It's amazing what love will do. Because Zacchaeus knew that he was in a class, and it was a class of people. It was a class of people that everybody rejected. Everybody. The people you're taking the taxes from and the people you're taking the taxes for. Everybody hated these guys. Then they came along with a kind of a sense of extortion and deception, and they were harsh. And if it was a Roman soldier that was actually a tax collector, they were given a horse, and they were called, people who ride horses. It popped in my head. It's Aquarian or something like that. Anyway, equestrian. There you go. I get by with a little help from my friends. I do. Equestrian. And that's actually the term. That's the term in the account of the definition of that in the resources that I was looking in. Harsh, greedy, deceptive. And they said, there's the sinners, but then there's this class, this other group. They're the people that everybody disdained, hated, because they were probably ripped off by them. Right? So Jesus says, I want to go to your house. And something happened. Now watch this. You'd think everybody'd be happy, but here's what happens. Verse 7, the big deal. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. This is the reaction that you and I have to put to death. This is the very deal that has to go. Inside of every soul is a little 3 foot or 3 inch Pharisee that's ready to grow 6 foot tall just in a moment and become the judge of the universe. Is that right? And the Lord wants to rinse that out of us. And we'll get to that more of that in a minute, because the Lord has a rinsing. And it's at communion time, and I'm going to bring a hose in here by the Holy Spirit's power. And we want to see this subdued and rinsed from us and cleansed from. Are you there? You're not going to be free being like a prig. And that's not a cuss word. It's a person who considers themselves to be holier than thou to everybody else's annoyance. It's the definition. We don't want to be what Jesus is not into. Anybody want to be what Jesus is into? And so these disciples, and these guys, they took, you know, but that's the next story. Let's go ahead. And so they grumbled. And Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. And now, this is the most amazing thing. Would you just repeat these words with me? The love in Jesus' presence. Now, I want to ask that you and I would become hosts. Have you had anybody have a dog or cat come in the house and they're a host? And little things jump on you, and you get fleas in your house because they're a host. How about let's be a host where the Holy Spirit's love jumps on people? Amen. That when you come in, there's an infestation of love that begins to happen through you. This is a weekly place where you can come in and you can actually confess your sin and nobody jumps down your throat for being a sinner. And when you're struggling, you're loved. Big time loved. And this is the way of the Lord. And this guy, Jesus didn't say to him, I've said this before, but Jesus doesn't, and we're reading the book, Unshakable Love, Jesus doesn't sit down and say, now listen, Zacchaeus, you're a real thief. And I want to get you good and lost before you get saved, so I want you to understand how bad of a sinner you are. Is that right? And people have that attitude today, and it's wrong. Ooh, I don't understand their sinning. So? What's that got to do with it? There, over there are those people that... Let me ask you this. Has there been anybody that taxed your life? Really put you through it? Yeah. Why? something's not right in there, and they need what Jesus can bring them. Is that right? Did he come and bring you something that unraveled what you were? This is very, very important to the life. And none of this is going to happen without our real understanding of the fullness of all Jesus has completed for us and done for us. Nowhere in any time and we ever say, you go out and try to do stuff so God will approve of you. That's a big false step. Here's where you start. Jesus has already completely taken all of our failure and decreed over you, you're right in my eyes. Now, let's live in that. You there? So let's look at point number one. Jesus sees value in people that others don't see. Jesus sees the value. He sees value in people others don't see. Is that right? It's just good to soak on that. It's just good for us to understand that. Jesus sees value. He saw value in you when you were in over your head and your attitudes and your stench in his nostrils, arrogance, pride, deceptions, lies, confusions, good old-fashioned I'm a sinner sins, obstinate, fighting for your own self-will, self-way, rebellion. The Lord says, I went here and I died. Jesus has come. This is why he says this. Look what he says next. He says, Zacchaeus says, behold, Lord. All he needed was this acceptance, see. That's all he needed, this acceptance. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. This is a rich guy. He's going to just empty out his house right now. Why? Because let me tell you, you cannot stuff possessions into your heart and be happy. And he was dead tired of it. I've been ripping people off so long, and I am just a scrawny little insignificant thing. I got all this stuff, and it means nothing to me anymore. I need love. I'm trying. People are doped up. I need love. I don't need this. I want to get out of this. I've gone through relationship after relationship, relationship. I'm confused about what I am. I need something more than this. And they're on a direct course to just imploding and coming apart. And somebody comes up and is a host for the love of God, and it jumps off. What is it? What is it? What is it? And you don't have a scale of judgment because you know how bad off you are. I want to just go ahead and tell you, be wise like Paul. The more you walk with Jesus, the more you realize you don't have it together. Is that right? The longer I've gone, I realize I just want to finish the race. Oh my God, everything doesn't work the same. Help me, Jesus. I'm not going to get off subject, but. And says, if I have defrauded anyone, anything, I restore it fourfold. He was like really, really touched. His need was met. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. And then he says these powerful words, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let's go ahead and turn to point number two. I love this point. Jesus affirms people's worth without approving of what they do, what you do wrong. Jesus affirms people's worth without approving what you do wrong. That is so key to us, isn't it? Jesus validates and affirms who we are. I wonder what turn, we don't have the record of it, but I wonder what turn after this took place in Zacchaeus' life. I wonder if he came out of that, or I'm not sure. It doesn't say. The Lord understands the hard shell that people put over them to keep their hearts from being hurt further. The Lord understands all the wayward ways that people go. He understands, like I said, the good fisherman. He knows how to navigate into lives. He has the tilt that can pick up all that. Look at you. He got into your life. What wooed you to him? Was it the condemnation and the big finger pointing at your individual sins? Was that what wooed you to Jesus? No, it's never. Ever. It wasn't the sense of rejection because I'm going to hell. No, that doesn't work. So don't be insecure and try to put that on people. Don't be a carrier of condemnation. Don't go that way. Continually keep before your understanding the what Jesus Christ has done for you personally, and allow that to be the anchor point of your soul. The foundation of your acceptance before God is not your performance. Never has been, never will be. It's always Jesus' completed work, all the time. And number three, Jesus wants us to be merciful like Him. I want us to look at another, we kind of went over this last week out of another passage, but in Matthew 9, starting with verse 9 through 13, Jesus passes on from there and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax booth. So now we have another guy. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. Now Matthew is sitting there, and next thing you know, he gets up and he's gone. And Jesus reclined it. Now here is Jesus at Matthew's house, reclined at the table because many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And here they goes again. Here they go again. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And they're asking the disciples because I guess they don't have it in their heart to just ask him, but Jesus hears it. And when he heard it, he said, let's just really breathe this in. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." These are the words of your Savior talking. And I dare say we would all be challenged somewhat to see where he would be headed and what he would be doing. Maybe not. Maybe you've grown in the depths of his love. But I want to just go ahead and say, just like when Peter had been taught all his life that Gentiles are unclean, and it took the Lord three different times as he was on that roof to bring down those unclean animals according to the law. And he says, kill, you know, cook, rise and eat. And there's a pig in there. Now, we all know that that was a good day because bacon. Yeah. There was bacon. And you can wrap anything in bacon and make that better. So today was the day that God says, kill and eat. And he would not. He goes, no, because he had a bias. He had a prejudice. How many of you have biases? How many of you have prejudices against things that you consider, I'll never get around those people. I'll never be around those people. And God had to convince three times, convince him. Finally, the Lord's like pressing in, pressing in, pressing in. And he gets it. It seems like every time Paul wants to correct Peter, he has to do it three times. Are you like him? You don't get it the first time. You go through how many? Come on. You go along, and then you got to do it again. And you go no. You got to do it again. So some of you like on the 12th time, you know. That's right. It does this stuff trying to get it right in your life. And so we have Jesus sitting down, and he looks at these Pharisees, and he says, "It's not the well people. They don't need the physician, it's the sick." And then he says this. He gives them an instruction. Go and learn what this means. He's looking right at the Pharisees. He says, go and learn what this means. Here's your homework assignment. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You know what sacrifice was to them? It's all the rule keeping. Keep the rule. He goes, I don't desire that. I desire mercy. I desire mercy. I want you to be merciful like I am. And they weren't getting that. Are you there? How many of you need some more mercy? How many need to be more merciful? Holy Spirit, come and help us. How many of you realize or recognizing in your own soul how quick you are to judge? See, that's an idol that has to come down. That's a pharisaical construct. That's something that God says, I got to get rid of this, because you just react, oh, oh, oh. It goes, you have no idea what you were in my sight. Not a clue what you were. Look at it. Oh, no, no. That's perfect timing. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. So I want you to turn your notes over on the back there. What he's doing right here is he's saying this. Listen to this. Watch this. He's not approving at all. He's not approving of the lifestyle of Matthew. He's not going, I'm really into your greed. You just go ahead and be as greedy as you want to be. No, he left the tax booth. He left that lifestyle. And now he's starting to learn the lordship of Jesus in this area of his life. No matter what area of your life is out of whack, learning the lordship of Jesus over that area is your spiritual growth. Is that right? And then you realize, I can't do this without him. He goes, good, I'll do it through you. And you learned how to surrender things inside of your life to the Lord, and he begins to do them through you and takes the stress of you trying to live it over your... How many of you? Come on now. You failed over and over and over. You just failed over and over. You keep punishing yourself for doing it and messing up and messing up and just end up wanting to give up. Is that right? And you say, I can't trust. You got all these little games in your head and our heads, you know, and we bring something to the Lord. I try, and there's this point at which you come to the place of saying, it's going to be him doing it. Can you imagine Father God going, oh, you got it. Paul learned it. For it's not I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I'm crucified with Christ. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. It's him doing it. It's him doing it through me. Greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. For I've overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of testimony. I camp in these things, and this is incredible. You can't be separated from his love in any portion of your life. It's impossible to be separated from the love of God. So that breath of his love is constantly filling your soul and causing you to do better than you could on your own. Isn't that right? Now, turn it over and look at these notes here. Paul was a Pharisee. He was one bad boy. He was a murderer. Murder filled his heart. And he was, according in his mind, he was blameless according to the law, yet murder filled his soul. What an arrogant mess. Pharisee of Pharisees. That was his whole confession of what he was. And then he gets the revelation. And look at this. While we were still weak. Everybody say weak. That's our condition before God. We're weak. We're weak. At the right time, Christ died for us. I underlined the word die and death here. This is like about five times, so you can tell what the passage is about. It's about Jesus dying. For while we were still weak, the right time, Christ what died for what? The ungodly. So thus far, we're weak and ungodly. Okay? For one will scarcely die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good person one should dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still... You got this, while we were still, this phrase, while we were still weak and while we were still sinners, and on down there, while we were enemies. So we're weak, ungodly sinners who are enemies of God. That's what we are. That's why the cross is so important. This is the nature of what we are. We're weak, ungodly sinners and enemies of God. That's how we come. That's who we're sons of Adam and Eve. And we come as weak and ungodly sinners who are enemies of the living God. And he comes down and he dies for us. And he takes away the wrath because of his blood. He pours his blood out over our life and says, you're righteous now. And the wrath that was coming upon you because you were weak and ungodly and a sinner and an enemy of God, I've taken that wrath away from you. Because I have reconciled you. And that means that you've been adopted and now you're in the family. And Jesus gets down and He washes your feet. And He tends to you. And He loves you. And then He says, now you just go and do what I've done for you for somebody else. Look at this little paragraph I got on the back here. Read with me. You don't have to read it. I'll read it, but just follow along. How can you love people deeply if you do not understand how deeply God loves you? To delve into this understanding of God's great love, we must focus on what Jesus has done for us at the cross. Now, listen to this statement. If you think you have any merit in yourself to be accepted by God, then you will judge others on the basis of the merit that you feel that you have before God. That's got to go. That's got to go. That's got to go. That's in the way. That's just totally in the way. That's destructive. That's pride. You have no merit in yourself ever before the living God. That is nothing. That's burned up. It's nothing. It's zero. You're a big zero with the rims rubbed right out. And anytime you think you have merit and judge anybody on the basis of your righteousness, you're a fool. And it hinders the love of God. It puts a wall up and says, God can't love people through you. And you're a foul sinner. You feel the love in the room, don't you? Because we're magnifying Christ crucified, the hope of glory, living in you and me, way beyond your ability to do what you could do. You come weak. You come ungodly. You come as a sinner. You come as an enemy. And He says, because of my blood, I got news for you. When Jesus was on the cross, He took His robe, right? But personally, what did He leave on the earth? He went up and He ascended into heaven. What did He leave behind? Blood. He left blood on the cross. He left blood on the ground. He left the power of His blood in this realm. And He also took it into the next. Let's praise Him just a minute. I ask you to destroy the false idol of our self-righteousness that hinders us from being a conduit of the love that you desire to pour into the earth. Oh God, we repent for the church at large who's been one gigantic Pharisee. We ask, Lord, you deliver us from criticism. For Lord, you are so holy. You accept without approving of our failure. But when we get a hold of that love, we come ready like Zacchaeus and we repent. And we pray for that Spirit to pour out on the United States. Oh man, let's just pray. Pray for the Lord. Thank you. Pour out your Spirit upon this land, pour out your Spirit upon this land, pour out your Spirit upon this land, pour out your Spirit upon this land. Come in your loving power, come in your convicting power, come in your, oh Lord God. Lift your heads just for me. I want to, on this little, finishing this thought on this paper, we must receive the revelation of what we truly are, which is weak, ungodly sinners who are enemies of God. You and I are sinners undeserving of God's love. We are rebellious and selfish and prideful in our nature. Now listen to this sentence. The average person, in his or her blindness, says that they're just as good as the next person. Well, the next person is also a lost sinner in need of God. It just doesn't work. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't do a thing. Well, I'm better than they are. That's the biggest deception. Maybe they opened up more doors and got more stuff on them and went further down in the hole than you. Well, Jesus died for your hole too. Who are you? Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and have those with communion, begin to serve. Now, as we lift up this little morsel here, and it has the little holes in it, because it's a picture of Jesus being his head being pierced with the crown of thorns. What is it that you need the Lord to do in you? What is it that you need the Lord to do in you today? How do you need to become more like the Lord? This is not my table. This doesn't make any sense except you trust in the Lord to do what you can't do. Is that right? And if you're like Zacchaeus and you said, I open to you, I want to be yours, and Jesus will say of your household, today salvation has come to your house, then this is a table that you can celebrate in. Is that right? What do you have need of in your life? What is it that you can't pull off? What is it that you've been struggling with? What is it that you've been holding back that you're afraid if somebody heard what that was that you would feel all ashamed and they would not like you because of that? I want us to invite a work of the Holy Spirit today in our hearts, because He wants to take us to a place where love flows like a river through our life. Is that right? So let's go ahead and lift it before the Lord. Just take a moment here. Father, I pray for our gathering today. I ask, Lord, that You would come and work in us and do in us what we have need of. I'm asking for this partnership with the Holy Spirit, because You sat down with Your disciples and You said, this is My body and it's Your ability. So I'm calling us to a point of will, a point of focus, a point of choice to submit to You in a way. Now, man, there are areas where You've been fearful to submit or discouraged to submit. The Lord says, come on along. Come on along. Come on along with Me. Come on along and allow the Lord to work in your life. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. There are points of healing. There are moments in your life where you gave up. Somebody, I'm talking to you right now. There's points where you've given up, and the Lord says, come back. I'm going to do something in you now. I'm going to give you the strength you didn't have back then. You surrender it afresh to Me. The Lord wants to unravel disappointments today, to cause things to be loosened from your heart that have held you back. Some of you have a point of agreement in your mind, but your heart's not quite there yet. The Lord says, I want that heart. Give it to Me. Give it to Me. Let me put My heart in there. Let Me make your heart new. Is anybody into that? Let's open to the Lord. Let a work of the Holy Spirit happen in your heart. Say, I need a new heart, Lord. I need a new heart. I've been disappointed, distracted. I need some help. Let's just offer it to Him now. Do business, so to speak. Would you do business with the Lord? Thank You, Lord. 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 And at that point of submission to the Lord, let's partake together. Hebrews 9:11 and 14 says, but when Christ appeared as the high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not this creation, He entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of His own blood, thus securing eternal salvation. This verse is saying that Jesus went into the heavens and He took His own blood with Him, and He secured for us eternal salvation. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, God said, if you do these things in the Old Testament in this particular way, I receive that as a purification of your flesh. He says, how much more? Well, the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know what that means? You can try to gut it out and gut it out and gut it out and gut it out and gut it out, and it never works, never works, never works. And God says, I'm going to deliver you from all your vain efforts. I'm going to release my spiritual life in you and cause you to live above what you're trying to gut out on your own effort. I'm going to free you from your dead works unto a living way. Because I've taken this blood into the heavens, and now it releases a purification of your own conscience. And it breaks down the power of condemnation. It breaks and throws out guilt. Is that true? What? Because he's done it. Hallelujah. We receive it, Lord. Receive the washing of your conscience. Receive. I said we're going to get a big hose and bring it in here. Lord, let the power of your blood wash every soul from head to toe. Wash us clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A new living way, washed. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Let's go ahead and partake together. Right before we go, I just want to affirm for anyone who's never actually done this, that Jesus Christ as Savior, there's a process by which you receive Him as Savior. He basically says this, if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, That's it. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, he says you'll be saved. Now what he does in that moment is confessing lordship says, I receive all that you've done for me. And there's those points at which you say, Lord, and he takes the burden of our sin. He takes the burden of the pressures of life. He takes them off of us. There are many people that go to church all their life and never know the Lord. And they think they're a part of the church. They think they know the Lord. But they don't know the Lord. They need to have an encounter with the Lord. Amen? And it's easy to do. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Love you guys.